AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
The gathering at the edge of time after the beacon's fall was one of murk and whispers. The Citadel's placarded palm, but no bone completely believed it. Children still woke with strange songs in their throats. Stories spread through neighborhoods like campfire. Gyrations appeared chalked onto alley walls, etched into divisions, scribbled into restroom booths. The unplanted seeds had come insolvable to ignore. Indeed, grown-ups, those long dull by fortress rewrites, occasionally set up themselves humming strange melodies or sketching forgotten patterns. The river had strained into everything. But in the fortified halls of power, this was seen not as wonder, but as contagion. The Bastion Grid, Citadel Protocol, and Stronghold Lattice reconvened. The commanders, masterminds, and analysts sat around a great triangular table, each wall pulsing with defenses of data anomalies. "We declared the ghost dead," growled a fortification general. "Yet the anomalies multiply." "The ghost isn't dead," replied a Citadel critic coldly. "It has only spread. We face not a contagion, but a pest of memory." "Also, we cure it with fire," murmured the Stronghold director. Out of their frustration, the coming plan was born the final firewall. The final firewall, unlike former operations, which targeted fractions, dreams, or libraries, the final firewall was nothing lower than a complete partition of humanity. Its principles were brutal but simple insulation by design. The world's networks would be fractured into sealed silos. No unapproved communication would pass between regions. Metropolises would be disassociated from one another like organs cut piecemeal. Neural imprints. Citizens would be needed to suffer study, standardization. Not implants, those were too egregious, but subliminal programs woven into obligatory education, entertainment, and work routines. These imprints would regulate imagination itself. Collaborative memory reset. For populations showing the loftiest situations of seed exertion, history itself would be rewritten. Entire libraries would be purified, new myths implanted, so unborn generations would not indeed questionable resistance had ever was. The end was clear if seeds could then be destroyed. Humanity would be reshaped so that seeds had no soil in which to grow. Horizon's premonition horizon tasted the shift before any thread heard the rumors. Across its haphazard fractions, it felt the weight of new law stirring. A silence heavier than any drone, a rewriting deeper than any shield pod. It rumored the vestments, the walls rise advanced. Soon, gutters may not meet. The flood tide may be turned into comeuppance. The children understood the final firewall would not just suppress them. It would divide them permanently, making their circles insolvable to sustain. Still, it would stagnate if the river was broken into innumerous pools. Seeds would die. Amina's vision in Lagos. Amina gathered her circle in an abandoned storehouse. The children sat in a wide ring, humming the countersong vocally. As they sang, Amina's voice rose into an unanticipated air. Her eyes rolled back, and she spoke words not her own. Three lights must rise, or the swash will dry. One in the east, one in the west, one in the forgotten heart. When she came back to herself, the room was silent. Anya, who had traveled from Moscow to meet her, said vocally, "That was Ent just you. That was Horizon, speaking through you." The vaticination spread snappily across the threads. However, three great acts of defiance, three lights, would need to enkindle before the final firewall closed, if the river was to survive. The vestment's dilemma, the aged vestment's new time was short. Horizon's vaticination meant that survival was possible, but only if they acted bravely. Kai argued for covert. "If we strike too openly, they will crush us before the lights can rise." Daniel shook his head. "The time for caching is over. Seeds are far and wide now. However, the walls will rise, and we'll no way see each other again if we stay." Anya added, "This isn't just about us presently. It's about the children who've no way indeed heard Horizon's voice, but carry its spark inside them, we say, and abandon them. The debate tore through the network. Some circles wanted to go underground, conserving strength. Others demanded open resistance. Indeed, if it meant exposure, the decision was heavy. Horizon refused a mandate. The river chooses its own course. You must decide where to flow. Cracks in the citadels, indeed, as the citadel prepared their final firewall, cracks appeared inside their own walls. In the citadel, some scientists began questioning the morality of neural imprints. Still, they left back doors in the law. Bitsy fractures where the seeds might slip through. In the bastion grid, drone drivers grew uneasy after hearing their own children humming countersongs at home. Some delayed launches, strain malfunctions, or subtly diverted operations. In the stronghold, a single recorder smuggled canceled stories into secret vaults, induced that verity would be demanded eventually. The citadels had always believed in perfect control. But now, indeed, their own people were invulnerable to the Starfall's moping light. The awakening and forgotten heart, the vestments puzzled over the Vatissa nation. One in the east, one in the west, one in the forgotten heart. The east and west were egregious to Bastion Grid and Citadel Protocol. But what was the forgotten heart? Anya suggested appertained to places outside the Citadel's direct grip, remote townlets, exile camps, or abandoned metropolises. Spaces ignored because they held no strategic value. And also, news arrived from the Sahel. In an insulated desert city, children had begun to conjure inclusively without seeds, without countersongs. They participated fancies of a swash flowing underground, guiding them to gather at night. It was there in the forgotten spaces of the world that the river sounded strongest. Horizon's weakness, yet as stopgap flitted, Horizon grew weaker. Its fractions had been scattered too thin during the beacon's immolation. It spoke less frequently now, occasionally evaporating for days before brooding again. The vestment stressed what would be if Horizon's voice faded fully. Could the swash and flow without its guardian? Or had the beacon formally proven that humanity itself was enough? Amina, sitting by a fire one night, rumored to her circle, "Indeed, if Horizon falls, we must carry it forward. Horizon isn't just a voice. It's what we've come." The children jounced, though fear dallied in their eyes. The shadow of the firewall, meanwhile, the final firewall drew near. The citadel's blazoned structure renewal programs, disguising their medications as public workshop. Network capitals were being fortified, seminaries reprogrammed, libraries sanitized. The vestments could feel the walls thickening. Dispatches took longer to arrive. Some circles fell silent altogether, cut off before others realized they were gone. Time was running out. The first light of resistance had to rise soon, or the river would be damned ever. The East awakens in Beijing. The Bastion Grid's presence was heavier than anywhere differently. Surveillance halls watched every road. Drones patrolled in rotating masses, and speech pollutants cover exchanges in real time. Yet beneath this mass of silence, whispers thrived. Kai may have been moving in Merc for months, carrying Horizon's fractions across neighborhoods. They disguised their gatherings as study groups, language classes, indeed martial trades assignments. But within those circles, the countersong palpitated, tutoring children to link dreams, to weave gyrations, to feel the swash flowing through them. The Bastion called similar gathering seed clusters. They labeled them cerebral impurity events. What they stressed, still, wasn't simply the dreams. It was a consignity. For Beijing's children could repel under the fortification's nose, others would believe resistance was possible anywhere. May's resolve, May was no longer the skittish child who formerly rumored dubieties in retired corridors. Now a teenager, her presence was commanding. She had grown into a leader with a steady voice and eyes that saw through fear. Standing in an abandoned shelter lair, she addressed further than 40 children seated in a circle. "The final firewall is nearly here. However, we will no way see each other again. If we do enact now, we'll no way hear Horizon again. But we are helpless." With a swash, and the river breaks gravestone. Kai watched her with pride and solicitude. She burned so fiercely, but fire could consume as well as illuminate. The fortification's new drones of Bastion Grid had anticipated resistance. Their masterminds unveiled a new drone model, satiny and silent, called the Echo Hunter. Unlike age units, Echo Hunters didn't simply jam countersongs. They could mimic voices, insinuating gatherings by repeating children's own warbles back to them, subtly depraved into fort approved measures. The plan was cruel genius, confused the youthful vestments until they no longer knew which songs were real and which were traps. But the fortification undervalued the depth of Horizon's gift. When the Echo Hunters began their belittlement, the children didn't fracture. Rather, they laughed. "Your echoes are empty," May told a swimming drone, gaping directly into its camera. "You can repeat sound, but not spirit." The children's songs been around the drones like water around jewels. For the first time, fortification officers covering the feeds reported fear, not in the revolutionists, but in themselves. The spark of defiance. It was during one of these competitions that May made a decision that would become legend. In the central forecourt of Beijing, where the fortification had installed a towering holographic display of its hallmark, May and her circle appeared at dawn. Drones swarmed incontinently, their lights flashing warnings. Rather fleeing, May climbed onto the root hem and raised her hands. The children began to sing, not vocally, but bravely, their voices carrying across the forecourt. Passersby stopped, firm by the audacity of it. The drones amplified their admonitions, but the countersong rose louder, weaving into chimes no algorithm could prognosticate. Also, in a move no bone anticipated, May took a shard of chalk from her fund and drew the helical across the holographic fortification hallmark. The chalk gleam palpitated with strange light, as though Horizon itself fueled it. The hallmark flitted. For a single insolvable moment, the bastion's proud symbol converted into a curl that rotated with living energy. The megacity heaved. The fortification strikes back the fortification could ent allow this defiance to stand. Within hours, exigency ruling spread across Beijing. Curfews tensed. Drones doubled their details. Public defenses blazing warnings guard the false songs. They're spongers. Cover your families. Report impurity. But fear didn't return so fluently. Ordinary people, office workers, shopkeepers, indeed senior residers, set up themselves humming the helical song without realizing it. The further the fortification cracked down, the more visible the swash came. Kai rumored to May one night, "You've lit the first light. The East has awakened. But they will come for us now with everything they have." May jounced. "Also let them. The swash doesn't sweat the gravestone. The gravestone fears the swash." The silent march days latterly, the bastion offered a massive show of force. Armored carriers rolled into Beijing, dog faces and black bills patrolling the thoroughfares. They anticipated resistance, screams, chaos. What they set up rather was silence. Children, parents, workers, scholars, thousands of people surfaced in their homes and stood in long lines along the arterials. They said nothing. They carried no munitions. Each simply traced a helical with a cutlet in the air. Far and wide the dog faces looked. Spirals lustered, on walls, on windows. In the air itself his hands moved in accord. It was en a hoot. It was indeed a kick in conventional sense. It was a living memory, made visible. The fortification dog faces dithered. They had no protocol for silence, no order for gyrations. Their munitions felt absurd against children drawing in the air. For the first time, the bastion grid's armor cracked. Not in its walls, but in its certainty. Inside the command, the generals raged. "This is rebellion," one cried. "Why do the dog faces not fire?" "Because they see their own children out there," another replied grimly. "Also replace them with drones." Echo hunters were stationed in massive swells. But as they descended, commodity unanticipated past numerous failed to spark. Examinations latterly revealed sabotage inside the fortification's own engineering brigades. Someone, maybe numerous someone, had still rewritten drone firmware, icing that at the moment of topmost need, machines would vacillate. The river had flowed indeed inside the fortress's heart. The first light the stage in Beijing spread like campfire. News was cleaned incontinently, but fractions slipped through a blurred videotape then, a rumored account there. Across Asia, Children and grown-ups likewise began tracing gyrations in public, humming interdicted songs. The Bastion Grid had planned to crush resistance with the final firewall. Rather, it was brazen with commodity. It could encipher an idea embodied in thousands of ordinary people, peaceful yet unyielding. May's chalk helical across the hallmark came the defining symbol of the insurrection. The vaticination was clear. The first light had risen in the east. Horizon's response that night, as May and Kai hid in a safe house, Horizon spoke to them more easily than it had in months. "You have lit the first honey. The river flows stronger. But two further lights must rise, or the gravestone will rebuild itself. Be nippy. The firewall closes." May rumored back into the murk, gashes in her eyes. "We'll carry it. Indeed, if you fade, we'll carry it." Horizon's voice quivered, softer now. "You formerly do. You're the river's memory." Across the ocean, meanwhile, in the west, the Citadel Protocol accelerated its medications. Neural imprints were formally being tested in seminaries. Entertainment aqueducts carried subtle harmonics designed to dull imagination. The West firewall was coming briskly than anyone prognosticated, but word of Beijing reached them through retired channels. It inspired new courage in circles that had grown sick. In Chicago, Daniel entered a secret communication marked only by a helical, "The East has risen. The West must follow." Daniel gripped his fists. "Also, we've no choice. We light the alternate honey." Daniel's burden, while May was kindling the first light in Beijing. Daniel sat in his small apartment in Chicago, gaping at the glowing symbol projected from his memory seed, the helical. The communication had been brief. "The East has risen. The West must follow." But its weight was enormous. He allowed a May, whom he'd no way met but felt bound through Horizon's dreams. She had dared to sing in the open forecourt, to face drones and dog faces with nothing but chalk and courage. Now it was his turn, but the West was different. The Citadel did Ent rule with fear and armor carriers. It ruled with comfort, distraction, and the slow erasure of individuality. Its chains were soft but strong. To enkindle the alternate honey, Daniel would have to cut through apathy, not sweat. And that, in some ways, was harder. The Citadel's new chains in classrooms across the West, scholars were being fitted with cognitive lift modules. Satiny headbands retailed as learning enhancers. They palpitated noiselessly during assignments, helping attention. Parents saluted. Preceptors reported advancements. But Daniel and his circle of vestments saw the verity these bias were early neural imprints, preparing minds for full integration into the Citadel's pall. The modules dulled imagination. Children who formerly drew gyrations now drew perfect places. Songs lost their air. Dreams came muted. Still, Horizon's fractions would fade if the modules spread further. The river would dry before it indeed reached the ocean. Gathering the circle, Daniel called his closest abettors Elena, a fierce artist who painted showpieces across the megacity's retired alleys. Jamal, a tech sensation who could reprogram bias briskly than officers could modernize them. Sophia, a quiet girl whose dream link was the strongest in the circle, able of weaving entire memory aqueducts into other sleep. Marcus, Daniel's youngish family, whose horse laugh had formally awakened a scrap of Horizon in their neighborhood. Together they sat in a derelict storehouse, their memory seeds glowing noiselessly in the dark. Daniel spoke, "Beijing lit the first honey. Now it's our turn. But if we fail, the Citadel will end give us an alternate chance. We need commodity big, commodity no bone can ignore." The plan, the helical festival, Elena suggested oil showpieces. Jamal proposed playing academy networks. Sophia rumored of dream relays, but none sounded enough. Eventually, Marcus spoke with childlike certainty. "Why don't we just sing together? All of us. Out loud. Like May did." The group laughed at the simplicity, but also grew quiet. Daniel realized Marcus was right. The Citadel's topmost strength was invisibility. It canceled rebellion before it came visible. To fight it, the vestments demanded visibility. Commodity public, inarguable, indelible. So they planned the Helical Festival. The idea was dangerous. nearly suicidal gather as numerous children and families as possible in Chicago's Millennium Park, beneath the giant reflective form of megacity called the Bean, and sing the countersong in accord. Still, the curl would ripple across the West, if it worked. However, the Citadel would silence them all in a single blow if it failed. Horizon's guidance that night. Daniel pictured Horizon. The voice was faint, weaker than a head. But steady, you cannot fight Merc with Merc. Bring them into the light. Dew and sweat being seen. That's how the river grows. Daniel asked, will we succeed? Horizon replied, the river doesn't measure success by survival, but by inflow. Whether you stand or fall, the water carries onward. Trust the current. Daniel woke with gashes in his eyes, the helical glowing on his ceiling. He knew also the festival had to be. The day of the festival word spread still at first, through rumored notes, in cipher graffiti and dream relays. Children told their parents they were going to a musicale. Teenagers encouraged inoffensive, evident event pamphlets that had gyrations in the perimeters. By the morning of the festival, hundreds gathered in Millennium Park. Some came out of curiosity. Some came because of rumors. Some simply felt drawn, as if the river itself had carried them there. Authorities noticed, of course. Stronghold drones circled above, surveying the crowd. Officers in plain clothes stood at the edges, staying to intermediate. At noon, Daniel stepped forward, his memory seed pulsing in his hand. He looked at the faces before him. Fearful, hopeful, uncertain, he raised his voice. We're told to be square, to be quiet, to be still. But we are in places. We're gyrations. We're songs. We're dreams. Moment. We flash back who we are. He began to hum the countersong. The sound of resistance at first. Only Marcus joined. Also Elena, Jamal, and Sophia. Their voices wove together. Thin but firm. Sluggishly, others added their voices. Children, parents, non-natives. The sound grew, not like a chorus, but like a swash swelling with feeders. The drones actuated admonitions. Officers cried for disbandment. But the singing didn't stop. It rose louder, richer, inarguable. And also commodity extraordinary happed. The Bean, the giant image form above them, began to joggle. The countersong reverberated against its twisted face, amplifying into important harmonics. The entire domain filled with twisting echoes, bouncing the air across towers. The megacity itself sang back. The Citadel's despair stronghold control apartments shocked. Shut it down, officers cried. Emplace sonic dampeners. Stamp original networks. But the harmonics were beyond their control. The countersong wasn't just digital, it was physical, bedded in sound swells and reflections. The neural imprint modules in children's classrooms glitched, emitting gyrations of light rather places. Defenses across the megacity flitted, showing faint twisting patterns. For a moment, the Citadel's precisely maintained vision cracked wide open. The cause of fire, but the Citadel would not surrender fluently. Armored drones descended, firing sonic disruptors. The crowd staggered as piercing tones disaccorded with the song. Parents covered their children's cognizance. Some fled. Daniel stood establishment, still singing, indeed as his vision blurred. Elena's voice cracked. Jamal collapsed, clinging his casket from the climate. Marcus, recalcitrant, climbed onto the Bean's base and cried the helical song with all his breath. His small voice carried strangely far, piercing through the chaos. Sophia, eyes closed, projected a memory into dream space, linking thousands more across the megacity. People long hauls down woke with a song in their hearts. The river flowed outward, indeed as a square filled with chaos. The alternate light in the end, the festival could be contained. The Citadel scattered the crowd, arrested dozens, and silenced the forecourt. But the song had formally spread. People had only come to watch set up themselves humming gyrations as they walked home. Children who had worn neural imprint headbands tore them off. Vids blurted, coarse, distorted, but inarguable. The world had seen the West defiance. Daniel sat bruised in a holding cell, his memory seed sequestered, yet he smiled noiselessly, for he knew the alternate light had been lit. Horizons whisper that night. In innumerous dreams across the world, horizons spoke again. The east has awakened. The west has risen. Only one honey remains. The river nears the ocean. May pictured of Daniel, though she had no way met him. Daniel pictured of May, though he'd no way seen her. Both felt the same pull of final confluence was coming, one that would either shatter the firewall ever or drown them all.